Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 144, a little bit different today because there is no Tom. We did warn you last week. Instead, I have organised a very special guest, a bloke I have not seen for a couple of years, and I'm super pumped to have him in the studio having a chat with me. It's Guy. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. How are you doing?
Really, really good. We were just saying just before we hit record how it's been so long, yet it doesn't feel like that long ago since we've last seen each other.
It's like a pair of old slippers.
It really is. Yeah. I'll be the left.
All right, I'll be right. For the first time in my life, I'll be right.
Yeah, we used to do radio together. So as a lot of people know who listen, I like to rope in my old radio mates.
Absolutely, because they're free.
They're all get a microphone in front of them. Keen as. So, Guy, you probably know that the voiceover guy. Mm-hmm. Is a little elusive. Like, you never really know much about people who do voiceovers for stuff.
They are very mysterious by their very nature, yes.
So I've seen the voiceover guy hanging around a little bit the past couple of weeks. I was having a chat with him in here.
Yeah.
And we're so used to doing radio stuff that we spent the whole time, nothing was getting recorded. We spent the whole time with the microphones on and our headphones on our ears. That's when
but we
know.
We sounded good.
He sounded so good. Ridiculous.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. If you have working nostrils, you no doubt have been enjoying the delicious smells coming out of Hilary Dubois' kitchen. She's bucking the baking trend and staying away from sourdough. Instead, she's been honing her Anzac biscuits recipe. In the past week, she's tried using molasses, honey, maple syrup, and for some odd reason, coconut syrup. In an official email, we know it was official because she wrote the word official in bold all caps in the subject title. She declared all sucked when compared to golden syrup. Treacle can be used too, if in a pickle. Thank you, Hilary, for your tireless work. Unsettling news has come out of Boris and Annabelle Swanson's house this week. On their record-breaking 45,263rd watch of the Rocky films, they have announced they will probably watch something else from now on. Sylvester Stallone has been notified. If anyone is interested in recreating Judd Nelson's fist-up-in-the-air closing shot of the Breakfast Club at Watchersville Football Oval next Sunday, you must register by 4 p.m. Thursday. Due to social distancing, organisers are expecting the line to go around the playfields and end up at the hockey pitcher's car park. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
We've got heaps to get through today. I know that we've both been playing something.
Lots and lots of
yes,
this certain thing.
That's
been
right.
Huge.
Absolutely huge. A lot of fun, perfect for Corona time, yep. I would have to say. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. No quiz today. Instead, it's going to be a would you rather. I always feel the would you rathers are a great way to sort of get to know the new guest.
Oh, God, I'm being properly interviewed, aren't I?
Yeah.
I think this is it now.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Okay, fantastic. But why don't we crack into the news first, because there are a few things that we've seen around the traps. I reckon the first one is talking about Batwoman. So I don't know. I didn't watch the Batwoman show with Ruby Rose in it, but Tom watched a couple of episodes and he said it was fine. It's just he didn't want to invest in yet another season of something.
It is all about investment, isn't it? It has to snare you within an episode, maybe two. Otherwise, you've got to think, nah, I'm sorry, I've got to put that down because I just haven't got the time.
It's just crazy. There's so much out there that even when you revisit an old show that you used to love, so, you know, I've been revisiting Parks and Rec on and off, you feel a bit guilty watching it. You're like, oh, I could be watching something new. It's really bad. But, yeah, so I never watched that first season of Batwoman, and it was – I don't know that much about Ruby Rose's personality, but I thought it was a little surprising that she went, peace out, homies, I'm not doing another season.
Oh, so she left of her own accord, did she?
Well, that's the official story.
Supposedly.
I wonder how much we'll know later on.
Is she one of those people that's challenging to work with, I think, is
maybe.
The...
Maybe. Yeah, is the polite way of saying it.
Yeah, I'm saying she's an ass.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I haven't heard from anybody because she used to, I think she started on MTV here years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and then went over to the US to do actual acting.
Yeah. She's done pretty well. She was in John Wick, wasn't she? She was pretty good in that.
Yeah, she was. Did a season of Orange is the New Black. Yeah. Wasn't she in that XXX something movie with Vin Diesel?
I don't know. I gave up after the first one with those. They were a bit...
I watched the first one too.
Yeah, a bit much.
Do you know why I watched the first XXX movie? Because I was at uni and I was doing like a sound design. Oh, I can't even remember what the subject was called, but it was a subject to do with sound design within films, and you had to go and watch a couple of films and do and like write an essay about, you know, compare contrast. And I went, all right, XXX. And the other one, I can't remember the name of the movie. I feel like it was called Insomnia or something. It was set in Alaska. Pretty sure it had Al Pacino, Robin Williams, and there was a murder mystery. And it was set in summer, so there was no night. It was all daytime.
Yeah, I've never heard of that film, but I am intrigued now just by that cast.
Well,
and the premise of the...
Comparing and contrasting that against XXX, I can tell you which one I enjoyed more.
Boom, crash, wallet, bang!
And then this really super quiet thing. Yeah, so that was my one and only shot at XXXing.
Yeah, me the same. It was all right. It was stereotypical popcorn film, but yeah, that was pretty much. It was like a Macca's.
Yeah.
You fancied it at the time, only lasts you for so long, and you regret it afterwards, and you feel all horrible and dirty, and wish for something wholesome.
And then a week later, have forgotten you've even enjoyed
then,
it. Yeah.
And then order another one after a glass of wine
That's
or two.
Right, exactly. So anyway, Batwoman is going to be back. We already knew that they've cast a new actress. She's an African-American actress, which is really exciting.
Brilliant.
Javicia Leslie. So she is in there. She will be Batwoman. A lot of people who have watched her show or know stuff that she's been in are really keen and super happy that she's being cast, but they were asking her a bit about, you know, within the Batman universe, who are some of the actors or actresses that she really loves. And she said Catwoman, but more importantly, Eartha Kitt's Catwoman.
Yes.
So when you think about Catwoman, right, I think about Michelle Pfeiffer and I think about Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, you don't think about Halle Berry at all, do you?
Who? Yeah. or remember who? Oh no, I don't think she was Catwoman. She might have been Batwoman. Anne Hathaway, like that to me, that is a
Anne Hathaway is Catwoman.
She was quite understated though, wasn't she?
She was very understated in those movies.
Yeah, but so she was sort of going on about how for her not just Eartha's Catwoman, but everything that she did, her activism, all that kind of thing. Yeah.
I love that old series. It's so camp. It's as camp as a row of tents, but I love it. It's hilarious.
It was comic
running around
book-y.
With a bomb, climbing up the walls by just turning the camera on its
just
side.
Just turn the camera, and no one will ever know. and the costumes on Batman and Robin were just a little bit loose.
Yeah. They look very much the kind of costume you get from a fancy dress shop rather than something that had actually been, specifically tailored.
I think about the Joker then, and even that Joker looked better than Batman and Robin. Like the costume.
Yeah.
It looked way swankier, swisher.
I think that's because they drank a lot more back in those days. I think everything was more acceptable back then.
You're right.
But let's not go there.
Let's not go there.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening... Follow the Watchers on Twitter and Instagram.
I saw this one because you know that I like Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders, like Ab Fab, yes. French and Saunders, yes. And I saw that Dawn French is filming something for Sky One over in the UK, which it's like a streaming?
Yeah, Sky One's basically like Fox 8, I guess, and Fox, they're all Murdoch-owned.
Yeah.
But Sky One's got a bit more quality home-produced stuff over there than they do here.
Right.
But what's she making for Sky One then?
So she's making this film. It's designed to be a Christmas movie about the meeting of, apparently this really happened, the meeting of Roald Dahl. When he was six, he met Beatrix Potter, who was not six at the time. And sort of from what I got from the article and the synopsis was she's sort of at the peak of her career. Obviously, as a six-year-old, he isn't, but he looks up to Beatrix Potter, loves all of her books, and maybe Beatrix is a little jaded. So maybe meeting Roald Dahl has given her a new lease of life. You know, it's got to be, I've got to have a family Christmas feel-good aspect to it.
Of course. Well, maybe they should have written something together. Maybe.
Maybe.
Charlie and the Chocolate Rabbit.
It's an Easter special.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that'll be quite charming. And I wonder if we'll get that, if it's still a Murdoch thing. Maybe it will end up on Foxtel here in Australia.
Everything else does. Yeah, I'm sure it will. But she's actually from my hometown in Plymouth.
Oh, no way.
She's a Plymouthian. And I have a Roald Dahl story.
Okay, I love Roald Dahl stories. Come on.
So my dad, who used to be a reporter on the TV years ago, he had to go and interview Roald Dahl. And he took me with him. And I met him, shook his hand. I was only like six.
This sounds like...
At the most. It was amazing. He signed a copy of the BFG for me.
Oh, no way.
Do you think I've still got it? If I had it, that would be worth a mint. But he was a lovely guy. And so I shook Roald Dahl's hand. I was quite
That's
proud of that.
That's so cool.
Pretty awesome.
That's really... I mean, I feel like every kid has grown up either reading or watching a Roald Dahl story. There's so many of them too.
Absolute classics. But let's not mention Granddad staying in bed before...
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
Yeah, that's dodgy.
He shouldn't have gotten that golden ticket. Well, he shouldn't have been invited.
What about the Johnny Depp, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? What did you think of that?
I only watched a bit of it. Yes, Gene Wilder was a bit creepy, but that character is creepy. But Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka was... too creepy.
I think he was a bit too much Elon Musk for my liking, and that sort of craziness, as opposed to Gene Wilder, like you say, that had a little bit of creepiness. I thought that was brilliant.
Just a little bit, like it was teetering always, but he was still quite warm.
Yeah, the Burton version's a bit OTT.
Yeah.
Except the squirrels are a lot scarier in the latest one.
I've only seen the latest one once.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave it there.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, the original is such a classic. There's so many, if we just want to look at memes, there's memes just from that compared to the Burton one, no way, no way. I wonder that surely they don't have time to have this finished by Christmas.
No, because they haven't been able to produce anything, have they?
No. So maybe we have to wait till next Christmas to see this one. We'll be right. She'll be right,
She'll
mate.
She'll be right, mate. It'll be around. It'll be around. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be shown over here.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I would like to talk about Star Wars. Now,
I'll get comfortable. Hang on.
Yeah, I know. Okay. This is going to be a big discussion, potentially. I know there's nothing horrendously new coming out of Lucasfilm, but Kathleen Kennedy, the head of it, has sort of said that they're taking a step back. And she said that before, after the Skywalker saga, the ninth movie finished. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, no other movie is slated for any sort of release, Star Wars-wise, I should say, until December. It's so specific, 22nd of December, 2023.
23?
So
is that because
long
of
time.
COVID, or because they've realised that they've kind of oversaturated it and they just want to take a step back to...
I think... The latter is correct. I think that maybe they are also going to have to completely reset. There can't be any Skywalker mentions in whatever new they're doing.
No.
Like, there can't be, can there?
Well, considering, you haven't watched the latest one, have you?
I never got around to it.
It's a big issue. I went to go and see it at the cinema. I was kind of nonplussed because after watching the second one, we spoke a little earlier when we watched the first, The Force Awakens.
It was exciting. I was so happy it was back. I enjoyed it at the time.
It's just like a new hope.
It's a new hope.
It's almost exactly, you know, the Death Stars, the X-Wings, the whole story. It was very, I just thought they made that as a kind of bridge to kind of appeal to the older fans, but to also bring the new ones in. So I kind of let that go. The second one, I didn't think it was as bad as all the incels on the internet made out. I thought it had certain good points. It was a little long. The whole scene in the casino was a bit much. It was a little bit mashy, but at least they tried something different. But the third one, because they've tried to return it back to the whole scenario of the Force Awakens, and they've tried to shoehorn everything in. And there are certain things that they do that you think, the Force never did that.
Yeah.
No, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't bother, unless you're a completionist.
I am. I do have complete and utter intentions of watching it, because I loved Star Wars growing up, and I still love Star Wars. You know, The Mandalorian. Have you been watching The Mandalorian?
Mandalorian is amazing.
I like that show so much that I watch the whole credit because I want to listen to the music.
Yeah. The score is amazing.
Beautiful.
The actual special effects they use, and whether you know, they don't use green screen. They use a projection.
Which is...
So they can have like...
Blew my mind, right?
Anything in the background, and it looks
incredible. Phenomenal.
It does look amazing. I like The Mandalorian for the same reasons I like Rogue One. The fact that it's set in the... sort of outside the Skywalker sphere, but inside that, it's almost the extended universe.
Yes. Yep.
That's what I love. I like seeing the bounty hunters. I like seeing like the random spaceships that aren't the Empire or
that's
the Rebels,
right.
You know, the whole other story behind that. That's what I love.
It's a whole universe. And this is exactly, you've touched on what Kathleen Kennedy has said. She said for 40 odd years, we've been following this, you know, Skywalker saga. And she said, there's actually 25,000 years worth of this universe that George Lucas has created, and they want to explore a lot of that. I know earlier this year we got news that... So did you ever watch Russian Dolls on Netflix?
No.
It was a bit of a Groundhog Day show. Mm-hmm. It was actually really good. I really enjoyed it. But the writer, or maybe she's the director, I think she... Someone behind it, but it's a bit hazy now, and of course I'm not Googling it. She has either written a script or is in development with a Star Wars film. So this is one of the Star Wars films, and it's going to be female character driven, which of course half the internet went, that's so unfair, we can't do that. And the other half went, that sounds pretty cool because it sounds like it's going to be a different sort of Star Wars movie, which is what we're after. I'm excited about the Diego Luna character. His character from Rogue One is potentially going to have a Disney Plus series.
Ooh.
To me, that's awesome.
Yeah,
and of course, we've got the Obi-Wan series as well.
Of course, we've got the series coming up. Yeah, the movies, I just hope that they just have that step back and realize what works and what doesn't. I think a huge problem is as well, is since it's been bought by Disney, it's like all about maximizing the profit as much as you can. It's more about quantity than quality, I think, with Disney in some ways.
Yeah.
Marvel they've done really well with.
Mm.
But even that was starting to get to the, maybe you just need to rein it back a little bit. But hey, look, new series I'm excited about. Excited about the female character. That's good because there are some awesome female characters in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Not Captain Phasma, though. Yet another example of a great-looking character. She was going to be the big baddie and hardly used at all, and one of the most rubbish deaths I think I've ever seen. And
how can you use such a big actress, you know, straight out of Game of Thrones, Gwendolyn Christie, and that's what you use her for?
Have you seen the latest tweets from John Boyega, though?
No.
Basically saying, at last, now I don't have to pander to all the idiots on the internet and basically saying, you're all effing idiots.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's really snapping back.
Ooh.
He got a lot of abuse, though. A ridiculous amount. It wasn't his fault that he starred in three crap films. blame the directors, not him. I thought he was pretty good. But he's another example of a storyline in the first one and the second one. He's wielding the lightsaber. You think, okay, this is going to be a stormtrooper that's found the Force and everything like that. He's going to become a Jedi. And nah.
Yeah.
I tell you what the third movie's like. It's like, the latest three movies are like, it's like a sneeze.
Yeah.
Right? That you feel it building up, you feel it in your sinuses, and you're just about to sneeze and get the relief, and no, it goes. And you've got all that pent up frustration and dust up your nose.
I know exactly what. Yeah. You've committed, as a fan, you've committed, you've gone,
yep.
And nothing happens.
And no release.
That's a beautiful way of saying it.
So, yeah, more stuff like Rogue One, I think. Rogue One was my favourite Star Wars film.
That's a great movie.
Of recent times.
Yeah.
The look of it, of course, was exactly like the originals, that same aesthetic. thought that, what's his name? Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn. He's a great baddie.
He was so, so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, more stuff like Rogue One, please, and I'll be happy.
I reckon they will go with that kind of thing. I think they'll still want to reference the original, so they'll throw even a mention of somebody or something in there, but I think it will do them good to maybe just delve into all of that back catalogue of lore that they've said is no longer lore, but they can delve back into it, grab something out of it that is really strong, and give us something fresh and new in this world that we love.
Did you ever play Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic? It was like an RPG.
I never played it.
Really, really good.
Yeah?
It's old now, so it'll run on any kind of system.
Right, right.
It's like a matter of like $3 or $4 on Steam, okay. I think it is. It's worth having a look at just because it's exactly like we're saying. It's in the universe, but outside it, still got the same Star Wars aesthetic, but it's not about the bloody Skywalkers. It's about something entirely different. It's really, really good, so worth checking out.
Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. Don't know why that was difficult for me to say, but it was.
It's early.
It is.
Did you know that listening to this podcast gives you immunity against energy vampires? Keep listening to We Are the Watchers.
Let's get into some what the stories. So we've got a couple here of reboots of shows that to me don't feel that old.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so Powerpuff Girls is a cartoon. I know it's a cartoon because you see it everywhere. It's probably been around, what, 10, 15 years maybe?
Yeah, probably about that, maybe a bit more, I don't know. But yeah. The three girls.
Yep.
The green one, the pink one, and the blue one, I think.
And
I
they can
know.
Fly.
I just remember the eyes.
They save the day, like the superhero kind of things, or things, characters, I should say. Things, you know, animated things. So they're off to the CW to have a live action version made.
Live action? So it's not just a reboot, it's I don't know what you'd call it, a rehumanization.
That's right. It's so CW. Because as soon as I saw the word CW, well, the two letters CW, I thought, okay, so it's going to be kind of like a mix between Riverdale, The Flash, maybe Supergirl, all that kind of thing. Yeah. And I read on and I was spot on. This is what it's going to be about. The superheroes are now disillusioned 20-somethings who resent having lost their childhood to crime fighting. Will they agree to be reunited now that the world needs them more than ever?
Okay. Well, that makes it a little bit interesting.
At least it's different, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's
there's
progressed.
Reboots and there's progressions. It's almost more like a sequel than a reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I like that. I mean, I've got to say, I didn't watch that much Powerpuff Girls. They weren't really in my sphere of influence when I was younger.
I think we're the wrong age.
Story of my life. Yeah. Is the story of my life at 43 years old?
So you're like, I remember it, but I wouldn't have watched it because I was busy being too cool.
Yeah, I might have watched a couple of episodes when I was hungover on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
And I couldn't peel myself off the sofa. That was probably it. That's good. That'll be interesting to see. I like that whole sort of idea of seeing what they're like in the future. Almost a more sort of cynical world.
That's what I'm thinking.
World-weary kind of approach.
Because they're already resentful that the world of being a superhero crime fighter ruined their childhood. So they're angst-ridden already.
It's interesting to see now that we've had this huge spate of superhero movies from Marvel, and now we're getting the whole sort of stage of almost looking behind the scenes, almost like Watchmen. The movie.
Yep.
Sorry, I should say the graphic novel before the movie, the movie is exactly the same as the graphic novel. That was kind of one of the first episodes that you could see what their lives were like outside the kind of, hey, I'm here, you know, the superhero.
Hello.
So it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, this one is the reboot that probably doesn't need to happen because it doesn't sound like they've changed it too much. I'm talking about Gossip Girl is getting remade. Gossip Girl to me feels like it's maybe 10 years old.
Yeah, not really long enough for a reboot, though, is it? If you're getting it in the same generation that watched it the first time, it kind of negates the whole special thing about reboots.
Exactly.
It's like when they went on a spate of reboots with, like, Starsky and Hutch. But even Starsky and Hutch was better because that was quite a while ago in the 70s. Charlie's Angels, I guess, maybe the first couple
I think the original. I should say the Drew Barrymore Charlie's Angels, yeah. Which was the reboot.
That's been rebooted since then.
Yeah,
as well,
and then everybody didn't watch it. So I think we're not to speak of it. I'm not sure.
It's never mentioned.
But it was, for me at least, a show that I had only seen maybe 5 years before Charlie's Angels, the movies, came out, because I'd missed it when it was originally on, so I was catching it as reruns on, you know, cable TV back in the day. So for me, it was fresh and exciting. I was like, oh, I know this reference, but I only know it now. Let's see how it looks with cool new clothes. Yeah. Have a look at the clothes now. Both of them. But yeah, but I feel like Gossip Girl is it's like, oh, my older cousin watched that show. Now I'm her age when the show was on. I'll watch it now. Why couldn't they just watch it?
Yeah.
Like, how much technology in the world of gossip? Because it's all about social media, apparently, this one. But I feel like there was social media back when the original Gossip Girl was around, right?
Yeah, but how long ago was the original around? About what year? Do you think about 2000 and what?
I'm going to say the 2000s. I'm going to look it up.
Well, in that case, if you think about it, I mean, while you look it up, if you think about it, social media, even 15 years ago, there was no Facebook. I don't even think MySpace was around back then. It was basically Friends Reunited, I think, was the major social networking thing.
And 2007 to 2012, so it's not even that much older. But yeah, so 2007, Facebook was around.
It just started, I think. I think it was in US colleges in 2006 and went worldwide in 2007. But look how much Facebook has changed since then.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe kids today wouldn't have ever been on Facebook anyway.
No, Facebook's far too daggy for kids nowadays.
It's got their grandmothers on it.
Yeah, but they've got their grandmothers on bloody TikTok now as well, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I'm of that age where I don't quite understand TikTok.
I'm of that age. I tried Snapchat.
Mm.
Too confusing. And I know that was the whole point. They make it really confusing for older people.
Yeah.
Older people. I'm only bloody 43. What am I saying? Yeah, it was just, no, I can't be asked. It's another social media. Yeah. I've had enough of bloody Facebook, to be honest. Especially seeing all my relatives sharing Trump and QAnon.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, there's one relative in particular who we're quite afraid is going down the whole QAnon route. And it's quite...
That's a bit scary.
Probably a subject for another podcast.
Probably.
Guy's Family, the podcast.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, well, we'll see what this new series is like, I guess. I mean, look, reboots aren't necessarily bad by nature.
No.
You know, some are pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some offhand. I can't, but I'm sure there are some.
Well, I think a lot of people at the time enjoyed the fact that Full House was rebooted. With the new generation. I thought, I know that Tom's like daughter, I think she's about 8 maybe now.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it. She loves the old Full House. She loves the new Full House. And that to me seems like a success.
Yeah.
Reboots
don't have to be. I mean, Star Trek The Next Generation. Probably the
perfect example.
The ultimate reboot for all the Trekkers out there. And that was... Some might say even better than the original, if you want to be a little bit controversial. But yeah, Star Trek's been pretty consistent, actually. For its reboots. Voyager was good. Deep Space Nine didn't really get into.
Did you watch the latest one, Discovery?
I watched the first season of that.
Mm.
Haven't watched the second yet. It was okay.
I watched a few episodes, but I'm not... I've only checked in and out of different versions of Star Trek, so I don't know all the stories behind everything. So for me, I was like,
Yeah, I only watched that one because it had Jason Isaacs in it.
Oh, yeah.
But the new one about Picard,
that's
actually pretty good.
I've heard that.
I love Patrick Stewart. Anyway, yeah. I think he's awesome. He's cool, he's old, and he loves dogs, which ticks all my boxes, to be honest. But the latest one is actually... pretty good.
Okay.
The podcast that believes in pyramids of greatness. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
All right. I think we've finished with... That's enough news.
What the?
There was an awful lot of reboot stories in here this week.
Well, that's because there's a bloody load of reboots.
Yeah.
There seems to be a real lack of originality. Mm. I don't know that sort of like art moves in cycles and circles, and hardly any art is original anymore. But when it comes to these reboots, there really does need to be a bit of originality thrown in there now. It seems to be all this.
Also the fact that there are, like we mentioned before, so many other programs, so many other shows on. Are they throwing reboots at us to get our attention?
It could be just a marketing ploy, you're right. But I'm getting the same experience with podcasts where I have my list of podcasts I listen to and I haven't got the time to keep up.
Yeah.
So even though I'm subscribed to podcasts, I'm having to miss them because I just don't have enough time.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's commuting as well, though?
That commute,
or lack of, I should say.
I actually miss the commute. I never thought I'd hear myself say that, but I actually quite like that maybe hour there and an hour back or just headphones in, catching up with podcasts or whatever you wanted to watch. That was great. But yeah, you don't have that anymore. But then again, you do have an extra hour in bed if you're working from home.
That's true.
And you get to work in your underwear.
Always a plus.
Without being a sex worker. So it's win-win.
Oh, the unprecedented times that we're living in. Unprecedented. We'll have a Would You Rather a little bit later on, but let's get into some stuff that we've been watching and playing.
Yes.
I want to talk about Fall Guys first.
Fall Guys.
Because it's been a couple of weeks since it came out.
Where do we start? It's a mixture of Battle Royale and Takeshi's Castle.
Takeshi's Castle, so much so that DoorDash.
Oh, it's lifted straight.
It's straight from
straight
it.
Out
so Takeshi's Castle. There was this one bit I remember. They would have to, I think they would usually get one of three doors. I think, and they had to
like
just
an assault course.
Run through it as fast as possible. But some of them were not doors; they were just walls.
Many drunken mornings watching Takeshi's Castle late at night in tears
Such
of laughter, watching people hurt themselves. If you haven't watched it, do check it out.
Oh,
it is belly laugh, you know, tears of laughter, belly aching laughter. But Fall Guys
is classic.
Is kind of like the closest you're going to get. It's free.
It's free on PlayStation. So if you've got PS Plus, it's free. I believe if you buy it on Steam, it's maybe $20-$30.
Oh.
So make the most of it.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got Rocket League as well. I got it free when it was on the PlayStation Plus thing. So, oh, that's good.
Yes.
It's great. And it's a game that even non-gamers...
Absolutely.
Well, not only enjoy, but they'll be able to play because the controls are very simple.
Very simple. So you use the directional... stick, you use X
for jump. And then the right shoulder button for grab.
Yep, and I think there's a dive which might be square.
Yes,
but you don't use that as much.
It's very, very, very simple.
Yes.
Very frustrating, very funny, very competitive.
Yeah.
It's bright. I think it's the closest you'll get to a kind of less, sort of like a Nintendo kind of vibe. Very bright, vibrant colors. The music will take you straight back to Mario.
I'm singing the song in my head right now.
It is brilliant. How far have you got? What's the latest you've got to out of the 60 people that start?
I have gotten through round one, round two, and I've gotten into round three. I've never gotten...
Me too.
To the last one. I was playing with my cousins, two of my cousins online, and one of them got there. I think we watched him do it twice, with the hexagons
where you have
to jump over them. And I was just looking at it going, there's no way I could ever do this. He had the timing right because you can't – because the floors, there's several different layers, and once you land on a bit of the floor, it crumbles. So you have to quickly jump off to the next one. But you can't use them all up. Otherwise, it's very funny. But you're almost like jelly beans, aren't you? That's what the characters are like.
So, they've nailed everything about this game. The characters.
Very easy to fall over with them.
Yeah, they're not very stable. They're like weebles, aren't they? Like they're kind of like rotate on their axis. So it's basically like a white bean with eyes, isn't it?
And then you can get all your costumes,
and of course that's how they make money, selling all the costumes
and stuff. It's the Fortnite kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, let's hope they don't get into trouble with Apple.
Because
I'm sure it'll be on mobile soon at some point. I think it's going
to be
on Android in China to start off with, from what I read.
Fun.
This week. So, yeah, it is going to be on mobiles, but it's a great game. It's sort of like Overcooked, you know. It's one of those family-friendly, fun games you can get into.
You can get into and you don't, and you can play it by yourself.
Yep.
as in, you know, you go online and you compete with other people, or you can play, like I said, with a couple of friends or family members. Or I've played, I call it couch co-op, but it's just, you know, you have a turn, you're like, ah, and you hand it over and you're still laughing.
Yeah.
On the lounge, just laughing. It's such a funny game. I would say, yeah, the only thing I could think of that would be a bit of an issue with non-gamers is they still have to try and control the camera.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, my partner, Annalisa, bless her, she's one of those people that when she plays a driving game, she actually tilts the controller as well as
doing
the Yeah, maybe it might be a bit much for her. But, yeah, it's not the easiest. Like you say, the camera does get a little bit – it's a lot easier to use than a lot of other games I've played.
For sure.
But, please don't let that stop you from playing. It's a brilliant, very streamer-friendly as well if you're into that sort of thing.
Yep.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah. I think it's worthwhile giving it a go because it does – like you finish – the rounds last, 5 minutes tops, absolute tops. So they're jump in, jump out. You don't get bored. It's a bit like Mario Party. That's the kind of thing it is.
Very, very, very similar, yeah.
Very good fun. Fall Guys, get into it.
Big time, big time.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Have you been watching anything? Are you more of a movie or TV show kind of guy?
At the moment.
Hey. It was unintentional.
At the moment, I'm more YouTube.
Yeah, right.
At the moment, I've been watching, whilst I've been furloughed, I've actually been watching quite a lot of Gran Turismo streamers.
Okay.
Which I never thought I'd hear myself say as a 43-year-old man.
But it's happened.
Yeah, it has happened. So I've been playing a bit of Gran Turismo, watching stuff. So we started watching Suits.
Oh, yeah.
Ages ago.
Yep.
And we hadn't watched the last season. And it's been out for years, I know, and we hadn't watched it. But we finally watched it last week. Finally completed it.
So it's finished. You've done it.
Yeah. And I've got to be honest, I wouldn't have said it was my bag at start off with, but it's actually quite a well-written show. I know it kind of started to get a bit repetitive, but it was actually quite a fun show to watch.
Yeah.
Annalisa's just watched Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Which she absolutely loved.
Yeah.
My mum's just started getting into that as well, and she loves that as well.
Because that finished up as well, didn't it?
Very recently. Yeah. And I think it's out on Foxtel or whatever it is yet, but it's available through alternative means,
things.
Let's put it that way. Foxtel watched Devs.
Heard of Devs? Yep.
That was really good.
Was it a good one?
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I know it. Like, I know everybody that's in it, but I haven't jumped into it yet.
Really makes you think about free will, determinism. I'll put my teeth back in. really, really atmospheric. Made by Alex Garland, who made and wrote The Beach and Ex Machina as well. Mm. So it's got that kind of eerie vibe to it. I think it's only about 6 or 8 episodes long, but it's good, well worth watching.
Palatable then, for sure. I've been watching Snowpiercer because I watched a movie. Well, I watched the movie with Chris Evans in it from about 2013, I think, years ago. And I thought, that's a really cool premise. It had Tilda Swinton in it and she was off the wall crazy. As you could, speaking about the beaches, she often is. And I thought, all right, let's see how this goes. Because I knew Jennifer Connelly was in the TV show and I immediately just assumed she was going to be the Tilda Swinton character. And I went, I don't know how that's going to work. That, to me, makes no sense. So the premise, and I think the first episode, is that they've still got the class systems, so the tailies are the lowest of the low, then you've got third class, second class, first class, that kind of thing, on this train that has 1,001 carriages. There's been a murder, a series of murders that they thought they had solved several years ago, but then they've started up again and they knew that one of the tailies has been, in his past life, a detective. Mm-hmm. So they get him out And of course, there's, you know, a revolution going on in the tailies. They want to get up into the front of the train. Who's in charge of the train? Jennifer Connelly plays Melanie, and she is not at all like Tilda Swinton. And the show seemingly wraps up storylines that you think is going to be the whole season long after about three or four episodes, and you're like, where is this going now? And then it just does another curveball.
Oh, I quite like really... but not overly so.
No.
In some shows, they throw in so many curveballs, you just get incredibly confused and give up.
Yeah.
But the arc over like three or four episodes, I like that.
Also, they'll reference that storyline that potentially may have finished comes back later on. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know Sean Bean is in the second season.
Oh, I love Sean Bean.
So that'll be good. I'm already looking forward to seeing how he dies. Dies and everything. But I've really been enjoying it. And it leads up to what I watched this past weekend. Was mm-hmm. I finally sat down and watched the musical Hamilton on Disney Plus. Now, I had heard it's very long, because a lot of musicals are, because they're for the stage, you know, like it seems a little more acceptable when you're sitting there watching, and they're not cheap either, watching a thing. You want to get your money's worth, so those dance and sing for me, actors, that kind of thing. But I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch the whole thing sitting on my lounge. So I had a couple of friends over who were very keen to watch it, and we were like, all right, if it does get a bit boring, I'll just give it up. We'll just sit around and chat.
Yeah.
We watched the whole thing, so much so that we actually did a little yay.
Oh, wow.
At the end. I was intrigued to see if they were going to do the intermission, and they did. They gave you 60-second intermission. Nice. It was amazing. So this was filmed back in 2016 on Broadway. So that has the original cast. I think it started in about 2015. So the original cast are all there. But I'm like, oh, I know that guy. I know that guy playing Thomas Jefferson. Who is he? He's the lead from Snowpiercer.
Oh, I like
He looks
that.
So different because he's, well, smiling. they are amazing. These performers are rapping, singing, moving, like it. I think I'd be interested to see what the word count is for the script, or the book, I should say.
Yeah.
They just go brrrr, and they're giving you all this history, because I don't know about you, I don't know that much about American history.
I'm British. We do tend to forget everything after the Revolutionary War.
Well, this
nothing
was about,
to do with us anymore.
This is about the Revolutionary War. That's where it starts. And then it sort of carries on, you know, over the next 10 years of the beginning of the proper US, I guess you would say.
So are the Brits the bad guys?
Yes.
Oh, I'm tired of that.
The King, though, very funny.
Yeah?
Very, very funny. He just comes out. His performances are almost always just by himself. Mm. He comes out and has a sing, but he's singing what's in his head, and very, very amusing, but a little disconcerting, because the performer kept not just spitting when singing, but like proper like saliva coming and sitting on. I had to look away.
Was that a part of the act, or was he having some sort of seizure on stage?
I think he was just giving everything he's got. It was a bit off-putting.
Not really
though.
Very apt these days in these lockdown COVID times.
No, exactly.
Times,
I thought, imagine if you were in the front row.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't be, but imagine if you're in the front row, you would have gotten all of it.
Yeah, you want a wet zone in SeaWorld, not at the National Theatre, do
yes,
you, really?
Exactly.
Hip-hop and musical, though. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not really my bag, but maybe I'll have a watch, and because I've heard it's very, very good.
It's not. So hip-hop, the genre's fine. Like, I don't go out of my way to listen to it, but I also don't go, eh, gross.
Yeah.
You know, probably a lot like you, but it was great. It was just great to realize that I don't think I've seen a musical where they do rap and hip hop.
No, I'm just thinking.
I haven't seen Rent. I don't know if it's in that.
No. No, I don't think there is.
It's very good. I know a lot more about American history now.
But that would involve me having to get Disney Plus, which means another subscription.
It's never going to happen.
I've got too many. Yeah. I've got about three different cloud services, Spotify, you know, all that.
You've got to just say no at some point.
I think now it's going to be a time where you're going to have little clubs of friends. Well, like, you're on my Spotify. This is how well we know each other.
Leah is
a member of my friends and family on my Spotify premium. And I think that's what it's going to be about. It's sharing. I know you're not supposed to, but I think with so many subscriptions now, there's no way you can sign up to all of them. It's a ridiculous amount of money. So sharing, I think, is the way forward.
You're spot on about that, because I think only recently here in Australia, and maybe over in the US as well, correct me if I'm wrong, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com, but Disney Plus has stopped their 7-day or something free trial. And you think about it, like, Netflix doesn't have a free trial anymore either.
How does it not?
I'm not sure about Stan here in Australia. It might. But I think it's going to go also down the track of, like they're doing in the US, where it would be bundles. So if you buy, I don't know, your internet provider is something, then you'll also get Disney Plus and Hulu, or like something like that.
Well, it's already happened with Foxtel, because they offer Netflix with it. Yeah, I think that is the way forward, because you can't keep up with all of them.
And you shouldn't have to.
No.
Yeah.
Especially when acquiring them through rather nefarious means is getting easier and easier. I still want to pay for it, but I don't want to fork out a lot of money for, and like, say for instance, The Mandalorian would be pretty much the only thing I sign up for Disney Plus for.
That's what I was like in the beginning. I was like, I'm only buying this because of Mandalorian. But I've found myself often on, you know, weekend arvos, because they've got so many old movies. I'll watch Three Men and a Little Lady or that kind of thing. Yeah.
They've got all the classics. So, they've got all the money that they used to make selling all those classic movies on Blu-rays and DVDs.
They're making it up that way. And it leads me to a thought that I had with different streaming services. With Netflix, you're watching Netflix stuff so you don't miss out on the conversation.
Yeah.
So you're trying to watch the latest stuff so you don't miss out on the conversation. Disney, and maybe also it's got a little bit to do with a bit of Corona in that they started way after Netflix, so they're still trying to get their productions going. But you watch it for yourself.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people here in Australia will have Stan to rewatch stuff that they love.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. You got to pick and choose, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Do you want to crack into Would You Rather?
Yeah, go on then.
All right, so I always think this is a good one to have when you've got someone new on. Instead of a quiz where you go, all right, here's a quiz about a show. Let's hope we both know enough about it. And suddenly you see this like this stunned look and you're like, oh, no, I've picked the wrong quiz. A Would You Rather is a good way to get to know someone and also have a bit of a discussion.
I feel like I should be laying on a couch in a psychiatrist's room. What do you see?
That's right. Do you remember, sidetrack, but those ink blots, do you remember basically all of that song Crazy, the video for Crazy was just all ink blots changing?
Oh, Niles Barkley Crazy, yeah.
That was a great video.
Rorschach test, that's what they're called, Rorschach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'd forgotten. Yeah, classic video. I might have to watch that on YouTube.
There we go.
Very soon. All right, so Would You Rather watch reality TV or live sports?
Live sports any day of the week. Watching the cricket has been one of the few things keeping me sane these past few weeks. Having that regularity, cricket, everybody knows what it is. Mm. Everybody loves it. Without the crowds, it's a bit strange. But no, it's been great seeing the live sport back. Reality shows, I've got to be honest, Bachelor, Love Island, all that sort of thing. I can feel my brain cells popping. It's like amyl nitrate. You can feel your brain cells popping as you watch it. Mm. Yeah, not really my brain. I'm sure lots of people love it. Mm. In fact, one of my friends wants to go on Big Brother next year.
Oh, no way, really?
And we're trying to persuade her not to, but she wants to be famous. So, sports.
I think back in the day when reality shows started, like when the first couple of Big Brother seasons started, it was exciting.
It was a social experiment. It was pseudo-scientific, at least in the UK. They kind of played on the whole, let's see what happens. It was more studying them as opposed to everybody wanting their 15 minutes of fame. And
yeah, so now it's, I mean, the genre is so played out that even those competition ones where maybe Top Chef or something like that, and they say, and the people getting eliminated are, and then you wait 5 minutes as everybody stares at each other. Like that in the beginning was super suspenseful. Now it's just annoying.
Yeah, it's like the way that MasterChef is edited. I'm sure it takes a hell of a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
As in, like, I'm sure they wrapped up, like, months ago, but they're still editing, you know, right up until transmission time.
Yeah, it's a wire, yeah.
Like you say, it is great when you first watch it, but after, like, the 10th season, and it's the false Jeopardy. The kind of making things out to be a lot worse than they are, and it's a bloody cooking show, you know. She's cooked the steak. He's cooked the fish. Just taste it.
Just dine with me. That's all we want.
Just tell us you forgot the salt.
But live sport, yeah, I think it's been interesting watching different, sporting, I was going to call them corporations. I guess they are. Associations figure out how they're going to do it, like, you know, with the bubbles and everything, and whether to add fake sounds of crowds or whatnot.
Well, cricket has been done quite well, actually. Regarding the whole safety and staying in the bubble, they've done very well. But, of course, they can't rub their spit on the ball now, so they have to use sweat. So they're all wearing headbands to collect the sweat.
I heard one England player say,
oh, yeah, I found the best place to get my sweat from is the small of my back because it's the sweatiest part of my body. It's like, that's really not the thing you want to hear from a cricketer, is it really? But
inspirational quotes from 2020. Amazing. I just think it's great that live sport has been able to come back because, I mean, I don't watch a lot of it. But for people, like, that's their consumable entertainment.
And there's drama.
There is.
There's so much
drama. Live drama.
There's drama. There's backstory. There's Jeopardy. There's
strategies,
luck.
Tactics.
Yeah, everything. You can go as deep into it as you like, or you can just watch it and just, it's 1-0. But yeah, I do miss the drama, I'm so glad it's back.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right. Oh, we mentioned one of these guys before, but would you rather Robert De Niro or Al Pacino?
To do what?
Oh, just
have
whatever.
Breakfast?
Yeah, sure.
Wake up next to you?
Let me rephrase it. Who do you prefer more in films?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's
a bit of a stumper. And
it's
really hard
to kind of choose between the two because they've both been so
been in
good.
A lot and they've been in stuff together.
All right, I'm going to be really judgmental here. Based on how their career's trajectory has gone, I would say Al Pacino because Robert De Niro has made some clangers, like The Internship. Oh, was it The Internship or The Intern?
Oh, that's right. Was it Intern?
Yeah, with Anne Hathaway.
That's right.
Awful.
Another mention of Anne Hathaway.
And he made one with Johnny Knoxville as well. Bad Grandpa, but something like that. He played like a really dirty old grandpa or something.
What happened was he was in Meet the Parents and he was hilarious. Yes. Like it was great. Like until then, for me at least, I always thought of him as a serious actor. And then he did this and I was like, oh, he's actually really funny. He's so super awkward that I think he got a taste for it.
Yeah, it's like watching your granddad go slightly mentally downhill. You know, it's like, stop it, granddad.
Having said that, I reckon Robert De Niro may have been in more stuff just because of that. Don't you reckon?
I'm trying to think of the last movie that Al Pacino made.
Was he in The Irishman?
I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen The Irishman yet.
Well, don't be ashamed. Isn't it 45 hours long? It's a big commitment. It's a lot.
Yeah. It is a bit. Yeah. I don't know whether I know Robert De Niro was in The Irishman, but I don't know about Al Pacino. But I can't think of the last movie that Al Pacino made. I'll still say Al Pacino, though.
Okay. I think, it's a good one. Would you prefer rewatching the movie Hackers or The Net?
Oh, I love those 90s internet movies.
I'm still, like, they're still on my list of movies I want to watch in 2020. And I for me, I'm going to go the net because I loved the net at the time. I was like, this is amazing. This could happen to any of us.
Yeah, I love the net. I love Sandra Bullock as well. But there's
yeah, me too.
Something about the fact that how Hackers has aged.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, it's aged. It's so of its time, but it was trying to be futuristic,
yes.
But it's still very much locked into the 90s of like physical media,
yep.
And very bad clothes.
I feel it's become more of a cult yeah. classic than The Net, which is strange
very much
to
so.
Me.
Very it much might, so. It, it might, the might cast be, as well. The
yeah.
cast of Hackers blows The Net out of the water.
Well, yeah, you've only got Sandra and then the Hacker, I mean, the Hackers. Hackers, you've got everyone who went on to do all of the things. Was it before or after Trainspotting?
I think it was after. You're yeah. thinking of Johnny Lee
yeah,
Miller.
Yeah, because I think I knew him
yeah.
coming into Hackers. Yeah. Angelina, of course.
Oh,
were
of
they
course.
Married? They were married at the time, I think, or around that
I
time.
I think he was her first husband.
Wow. That's a lifetime. Well, several lifetimes yeah. ago in the world of Hollywood.
Some
all right.
might say he had a lucky escape.
Yeah.
Others might not be so.
Yeah, it's really down to personal preference.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right, here's one from Netflix, a Netflix sort of one. Would you prefer Stranger Things or Umbrella Academy?
You'll have to tell me what the Umbrella Academy is.
So Umbrella Academy is a group of siblings who all have superpowers, but as kids were sort of almost like Powderpuff Girls, really, Powerpuff Girls. They were thrown into the spotlight for their abilities and they've all sort of gone their separate ways and have shunned their family and everything and they've had to reunite.
Well, this is probably not the right thing to say on the Watchers podcast that I'm probably never going to get invited back again, but I have seen neither of those. I know of Stranger Things, but it's just one of those things where it's in the zeitgeist and I think, all right, I'll watch that eventually. And by the time I think about watching it, the zeitgeist has already gone round about three times.
Do you know who else has not watched Stranger Things?
Who?
Tom.
Really?
He's,
I'm in fine company.
He's never gotten around to it, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to turn this around on you. Out of those two, what would you recommend I watch?
Stranger Things. That first season's very, very good.
Yeah?
Very, very good. I love Umbrella Academy. I thought both seasons were really great, but Stranger Things, it's very special.
Okay.
You've got that 80s nostalgia vibe to it. There's strange comings and goings. There's stuff we don't understand.
Yeah.
And there's a standout character called Barb, and I think you will love it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it.
All right. I'll do Stranger Things because Annalisa and I are looking for the next thing to watch, and we were going to watch Ricky Gervais's Afterlife.
Good show.
Which I've heard is amazing.
It's so good, but you laugh and cry.
Yeah. I don't think I'm in the right mental frame of mind with this lockdown to be watching stuff like that. I'm happy to watch it eventually, but All right, Stranger Things it is.
It's a good escapism show. Yeah.
That's
and
exactly
well
what
made.
We all need.
Well made. Ah, okay. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, well. See.
This is a safe place. You can say anything.
Star Wars,
but
I think what they've done with Star Trek generally recently is better than what they've done with Star Wars.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm sure I've bored everyone enough with my...
So what about... I'm going to get a little bit specific with this. Mm-hmm. So as a 15-year-old, which one would you have picked?
Oh, Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then again, when I was 15, that was before the prequels were made, let alone the sequels.
Yeah.
So we only had those three movies.
And they were classics by then.
And that was one of the things I remember as a kid, had it on VHS.
Yeah.
I was like 4 or 5 and it was one of those movies that you just watch over and over and over and over and over again.
Did you have any of the figurines?
Oh,
mate, did you?
Mate, I had one of those AT-AT walkers, the ones that were like a small dog that scared the hell out of our actual dogs.
Really?
Had loads of it. And then we had a house fire and basically all my Star Wars figurines ended up.
Oh, no.
Plastic puddles.
Oh. I had next door neighbours who were older and they were boys.
Yeah.
And they had quite a substantial Star Wars figurine collection. And my sister and I, we had some. you know, I've still got them to this day.
No way.
But we would go over and we would ask if we could look at them. Like these guys were like 15 and we were 8. So it was very, very nice of them to allow us this moment. We were like, look at them. And we were like, wow, it's so cool. And I remember they said we could borrow one and we were like, okay, now we need to figure out which one we're going to borrow. And that was like this long discussion. And in the end we picked. So do you remember in I think he was only in Empire Strikes Back up in the sky, you know, the cloud world. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it right now. And he was Lando's almost second in command. He was bald and he had that sort of wraparound computer ear thing. And he didn't actually say anything.
He was wearing
anything.
Bluetooth headset before they came.
That's exactly it. We got to borrow him.
I can't remember his name either.
I can't remember his name.
No, I can't remember. Yeah, but he was pretty cool. He was mysterious. Cool. He was another example of the extended universe, you know, mysterious characters.
Now, didn't he speak? What was his role? What was that thing?
Exactly. What was he listening to?
What was he? What was on his Spotify playlist? All right, we've got the last one now. Okay. A comedian, would you rather a comedian in a serious role or an actor famous for serious roles playing a comedian in a movie?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because you've got examples of comedians who go on to be who have gone on to do serious stuff. Robin Williams, of course, even Jim Carrey, like stuff like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, even Truman Show to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I remember there was this skit of French and Saunders years ago and they had Julia Sawala, Safi, from Ab Fab in there.
She used to be a crush of mine.
Linda Day. Do you remember Press Gang?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such a classic.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were pretending they were making a pilot of a sitcom, and Julia Sawala's mother was Helen Mirren in the sitcom. So Julia Sawala was getting all the laughs and Helen Mirren was trying to say stuff and the crowd wasn't laughing and she's getting a little bit flustered. And then do you remember Fresh Fields? It's only Sonia.
Fresh Fields.
I'm just giving
Julia
you the reference.
McKenzie?
That's
oh
right.
Oh, my Lord, and that's the, a name I
know.
Thought of for
I don't
decades.
Know why whenever I hear the name Sonia, it floods back to me. But they had a neighbour called Sonia who would just walk in, say a catchphrase, and the live of studio on, she would clap and laugh, right? Same thing every single episode. So Jennifer Saunders is obviously this kind of character. So she would come in, say something, all the audience would laugh, and Helen Mirren's like, what is going on? Why are my laughs not working? And then, you know, like Jennifer Saunders points at something and a mug falls over and she goes, whoops, Daisy. And everyone goes, ha, 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 ha. Anyway, in the end, it all goes wrong. But that's the kind of thing I was imagining, you know, like serious actors trying to get a laugh out of stuff. But I guess maybe Robert De Niro did manage to do it.
Yeah, he did. He kind of over-egged it a bit and thought he was funnier than he is. But I guess out of those two, I'm going to cite the example of Ricky Gervais again with Extras.
Mm.
I like seeing the serious actors show their human, humorous side. I prefer that, really.
Yeah. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy with that one. And also, you've made me want to watch Extras again, so there's never a bad thing.
So good. So good.
My Ricky Gervais automatic default is to go back and rewatch The Office, but there's not that many episodes of it, so I kind of want to not saturate it, you know.
Yeah, if you watch much of his stand-up.
Bits of it. Maybe that's something I could do.
Yeah.
Start watching
very, very
like
good.
That.
I saw him live once when I was still in England.
Yeah.
He came to Bristol and my friend and I came and he was at that stage where he was being very, very wrong and it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Tears with laughter?
Stomach
laughter?
Cramps.
Oh, really?
Stomach cramps of laughter. The scary thing is on a couple of occasions that my mate and I were the only people laughing in the entire auditorium when he said something really bad.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was a bit wrong.
So he knew exactly the audience
he was
going for. I was talking to my cousin the other day about watching comedians live. I can't remember the comedian he was talking about, but he went and saw someone live and he's like, it went on for so long that I got tired of laughing. I just wanted it to finish. And I was like, yeah, that reminds me of way back I saw Billy Connolly live, and you know he's long. Like his shows are really long. And I remember being quite exhausted going, oh, I don't know if I've got much left in me.
Yeah, but what a privilege to have seen Billy live, though.
That's, it was so good. And I love the way I still remember the way he finished it. He was telling some random Billy story, and then he goes, right, well, it's getting close to midnight, and I've always got this saying where I always like to finish the show on the same day that I started it. Good night! And just walked off, and we all went, yay!
Oh, wow.
It was an absolute classic. But, yeah, I think the stand-up shows are good to watch on TV.
Yes, and of course Netflix has got so many specials.
Yeah, I mean,
so many comedy specials.
Get into it.
And what we need now is a bloody laugh anyway.
We do, absolutely. Just funny stuff and as many reboots as possible,
please.
Make
me laugh, funny man.
It's been so good catching up with you, and it's been so good having you on the podcast.
I can't believe it's over already. It's flown, but it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Will you come back?
I would love to.
Carryover champion.
Absolutely.
See you next week.
Take it easy.